Grace to you and peace from God our Heavenly Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Our sermon texts today are the words of the epistle reading from 1 John chapter 4. And I would invite the congregation to rise for the reading of the sermon text today. Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God, for many false prophets have gone out into the world. By this you know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is from God, and every spirit that does not confess Jesus is not from God. This is the spirit of the Antichrist, which you heard was coming and now is in the world already. Little children, you are from God and have overcome them. For he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. They are from the world, therefore they speak from the world, and the world listens to them. We are from God. Whoever knows God listens to us. Whoever is not from God does not listen to us. By this we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God. And whoever loves has been born of God and knows God. Anyone who does not love does not know God, because God is love. In this, the love of God was made manifest among us, that God sent his only Son into the world so that we might live through him. In this is love, not that we have loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. So far, our sermon text. Let us pray. These are your words, Heavenly Father. Set us apart by them. Sanctify us by the truth. Your word is truth. Amen. You may be seated. Fellow redeemed in Christ, a man was being escorted through heaven by Saint Peter. And when they came to one particular door, Peter said, "Shh, be very quiet as we go past this door." And the man naturally was curious and asked, "Why should we be so quiet?" And he said, "Well, that room has ELS people in it, and they think they're the only ones in heaven, so we don't want to disturb them." Maybe you've heard that joke sort of leveled at you before. We've always recognized that our church is not the only saving church. We do believe that wherever the Word of God is taught and the sacraments administered, there God's church will be found. Believers will be found there because of the power of that Word. But since salvation comes to us through the gospel message in God's Word and sacraments, we need to pay close attention to the teachings and the teachers. If you begin to dismantle the Word of God, if you say that the Bible is not God's Word, but just another book that happens to have some of God's Word in it or something like that, then salvation itself is at risk. Our Lord Jesus Christ told us to watch out for wolves dressed in sheep's clothing, who appear to be good, who appear to be helpful. But their message is so destructive. In spite of Jesus' warning, many people absolutely refuse to mark out differences between the churches. Many churches join together in sacred acts and draw up all manner of agreements to disagree about what they believe, and And they call this love. Who could be against love after all? If we just love one another, then we'll just overlook all the differences, right? But that's not what the Apostle John preaches. The Apostle John spoke of love at great length in his letters, but he also spoke about truth. Love doesn't ignore the truth. We're to speak the truth in love. Love does not delight in wrongdoing, but is happy with the truth. When we want to talk about the true visible church on earth that preaches the truth and not some particular church body, we call that true visible church body, at least in our circles, the Evangelical Lutheran Church. Not Synod, the Evangelical Lutheran Church. That's the term we use, and we think it's good terminology because in that Evangelical Lutheran Church, we hear the gospel preached and taught that salvation comes through faith alone, by grace alone, brought to us by Scripture alone. In other words, that Christ alone is our salvation. That's what the Evangelical Lutheran Church is all about. Now, reason and works, they can't save us, nor are we competent when it comes to being saved. There's nothing in us that contributes to our salvation. And other authorities, whether they're books or people, they're not able to save. God alone is responsible for our salvation. God alone can do that. To believe something else is actually to differ with God and what He has said. And that's the very definition of doing something wrong, something sinful. Believing untruth is wrong. This is what the Bible teaches very clearly. But not all Christians believe the same things. And because of this, St. John reminds us to test the spirits. In other words, to test the teachers and their teachings. And because this is so, we must not be afraid to testify lovingly with all gentleness to the truth. So, fellow members of Christ, don't believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world. Now, testing always has a standard. At least it should. I'm saying that as a teacher. The world has its many changing, differing standards, but God has His standard. And John reminds us that some are from the world and therefore they speak from all kinds of different viewpoints and the world listens to them. But John also reminds us of how different worldly viewpoints are from God's unchanging truth. God's standard is the Scriptures. That's why He gave it to us. Our testing is to be based on them, and it's not to be a judging of hearts. We can't even see into our own hearts very clearly, let alone those of other people. That's for God. He knows our hearts. He knows our attitudes. No, what we are to do is examining the confession, the creed, what people say they believe is true and not true. And we're to test by comparing what they say to God's word. Is it true? Is it not true? According to God. And we are to test their actions according to God's word as well. John encourages us to test people on what they believe about Jesus Christ, not to prove ourselves better at Bible trivia or anything like that, but because there are those who really do deny the real Christ. In John's day, some were saying that God didn't really come in the flesh. In other words, that Jesus wasn't really a human being. or that he didn't enter into humanity. He wasn't really born of the Virgin Mary, true God and true man in one. And many of these false teachers believed that Jesus of Nazareth was really just the best teacher who had ever come, a good man, nothing more. And others believe the opposite, that he wasn't really human at all. Today you can find a number of non-Christian churches that continue to teach these same damnable teachings, that Jesus is not really God, or that he's not really man. John says that if someone should say that Jesus is not true God and true man, then they're not from God. And they're not united with us. They can't be. Today, you can also find many a Christian church that wants to be agreeable and wants to draw in as many people as possible. And to do this, they end up preaching that it doesn't really matter what you believe about Jesus Christ. But John says that it's necessary to teach that Jesus is true God and true man in one person. If John was the apostle of love, then why talk this way? Why should we talk this way? Well, it's because there's no other name under heaven by which we must be saved, the name of Jesus Christ. There's no other Savior. There's no other way. Jesus had to save us. And according to God, it was necessary that he be both true God and true man in order to carry that out, so that he could live under God's perfect law, and so that he could die in our place as the sacrifice to pay for and to cover all of our sins with his blood. That's the only way for God to save us and remain who he is. Because remember, he is perfectly just. He never backs off on his law one bit. Those who violate it are deserving of death. And yet he's also perfectly loving. And he would not see a single sinner perish, but that all have eternal life. So how do you reconcile that? Well, it's only in the fact that Jesus was truly God and truly man, and that he went to that cross and paid for our sins himself. That's the only way to reconcile that. And yet many Christians remain ignorant or confused about this truth. Think about that for a second. Many Christians deny the six-day creation. Many Christians deny baptism, that it forgives sins. Many Christians deny that Jesus' body and blood are really present with the wine and bread in communion for the forgiveness of our sins. And yet Jesus commanded the supper, and he commanded baptism for the remission of sins, and he spoke of the six-day creation. If these teachings aren't true, then what does that say about the teacher? What does that say about our salvation? If these things are not true, then we don't have a Savior. That's what it says. While it's true that Christians today are not so much debating the issue of whether Christ has two natures, God and man in one, we still need to test the people on this important teaching. Now, nowadays, the issue is authority. Who are we supposed to believe? What is the standard? How are teachers and teachings to be judged? Well, the Spirit has revealed to us that the Word of God, the Bible, must always be our only rule and norm. It's the only thing that doesn't change. It's the only thing that's straight from God. All Scripture is God-breathed, it says, and profitable for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness. When the Bible is ignored, or when it's thought of as just another book on the shelf, or when it's just taken terribly out of context with worldly viewpoints imposed on it, well, then teachings and teachers start to change and to leave God's word behind and to follow the culture wherever the culture leads. And we know where the culture leads in our country. We've seen it. In a recent survey of Christians, almost all the people surveyed felt that they had to do good works in order to get into heaven. or they felt that they had to do the work of accepting Jesus Christ into their hearts to get to heaven. The rest really didn't know where they were going. How sad is that? About 74% of the laity said one can be a good Christian and not go to church, and about 20% of the clergy agreed. Let's put that to the test. Is it possible to be a good Christian and not go to church? Well, the Bible says that believers are to be part of the body of Christ, not isolated islands out there on their own. The Bible says that Christians are not to give up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but we're to encourage one another and to bear one another's burdens. Christians spend a lifetime being taught and teaching, loving, caring. How this can be done in isolation, I don't know. Testing the spirits may hurt feelings at times. But as we speak the truth in love with meekness and gentleness, we shouldn't be afraid. We are from God. Remember that. We are from God and have overcome them because the one who is in us is greater than the one in the world. The Lord Jesus Christ, He has rescued us from our sins and from the devil's accusations and from eternal death, from the confusion that reigns in our culture all around us. Our Savior brought us out of captivity, and He has set us free to serve Him and to tell of His love, His great love for us. We don't have to fear what other people may do and say, but we should fear God, who can destroy both soul and body in hell, the scriptures say. It's true that we Christians don't believe the same things. That's precisely why we need to keep on testing the spirits, testing the teachers, testing the teachings, remembering that love does not delight in doing wrong. Love can't overlook error because it's dangerous. We need not fear as we testify because God has overcome them. So I want to leave you with this passage from the book of Jude. I urge you to fight for the faith once entrusted to the saints. Keep yourselves in God's love. Now to Him who is able to keep you from falling and have you stand without fault and with great joy in the presence of His glory, to the only God who saves through Jesus Christ, our Lord, to Him be glory, majesty, power and authority, as it was from the beginning, so it is now and forevermore. Amen. Please rise. And now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit be and abide with you all. Amen.